T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In the beginning, there was fire, and it was good.
Yeah, it was okay.
Actually, the first industrial revolution, you have to go back to Britain, about 1760. Big invention was the steam engine.
Sure.
That was the first industrial revolution, Jorah. The second industrial revolution came about a century later, mid-1800s. The industrial revolution characterized by steel and coal and oil and electricity, the light bulb, the telephone, the internal combustion engine, all of that part of the second industrial revolution. The third industrial revolution, the 1960s, the semiconductor, the personal computer, the interwebs, the digital revolution.
That makes sense.
And now we are in the midst of a fourth industrial revolution, artificial intelligence, autonomous vehicles, the Internet of Things, merging with people's physical lives. And we don't even realize we're in the midst, at least most of us, I don't think, realize that we're in the midst of an industrial revolution.
I don't know if you realize it while you're going through
right.
it. We just think it's, hey, what's at CES this year? What are the cool new inventions? We don't realize the revolutionary status of it.
Well, with us to make some sense out of this is Professor Babani Misra. Misra.
What were the odds on me on him screwing up the name?
What was the over under on
Doctor,
that?
We're sorry.
Dr. Misra at the University of St. Thomas. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
Explain to our listeners, why is this really a revolution? Is this fake news? I mean, we've always undergone innovation and disruption. What makes this different and unique?
This actually has been fueled by, as you said, in the third generation or the third revolution is where the silicon and the computers became more and more useful. Things have happened is the computers have become extremely powerful. What that means is we are able to get things done much more than what we could do before. Along with that, our network and communication speeds have increased. So therefore, we are able to do a lot more things. And what I mean by that is we are able to make the computer learn like us by giving certain input, giving some details such that it can behave in a particular way. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it is able to mimic human being. That means we human beings consider ourselves to be an intelligent animal. So if something which kind of mimic us, like that's what we are calling artificial intelligence. So the machine learning, artificial intelligence, because of higher, more and more powerful computers, we're able to do many things. Like autonomous vehicles, driverless vehicles. Vehicles to recognize something in the front to stop in time before it collides with it. In fact, there are more and more things of that kind is mm-hmm. happening, and that is what is helping us. And that is the revolution that is fueling now. And along with that, we also have what is called Internet of Things. What that means is we are able to connect multiple devices spread over different things, and we are able to control them and manage things. Like, for example, using my iPhone, I'm able to open and close my garage door even if I'm in the office. I'm able to control my furnace temperature in the house, and same way I can arm and disarm my alarm system. This is common, and everybody is able to do that. So that means how slowly this technology has kind of become part of our life, and we are getting benefits out of those.
Okay.
And that is the revolution that's happening. Similarly, in the area of, let's say, medical science, a simple example can be, let's say, in order to recognize not diagnose skin cancer. Skin cancer, the radiologist or whoever is trying to look at and compare with these things and finding it. Computers are able to do it much faster and much better by way of deep learning technology. So those kind of things are slowly affecting or actually becoming part of our life without we realizing how much it has gone into our life. And as time passes, it's going to be even more because the computers are going to be even faster and more complex problems we'll be able to solve using those.
Dr. Misra, these all sound like great things. You know, I love being able to control my garage door from my phone. I love that we can diagnose cancer cells with more efficient measures. But as in any revolution, things always become obsolete. So which parts of our economy now do you think are going to be left by the wayside because of this revolution?
Let's say in a manufacturing industry, more and more robots are able to get into manufacturing, mm-hmm. reducing the requirement of skilled worker. It does affect us that way. But we are able to do much faster and much precision manufacturing. So that could be an example. And if the driverless cars becomes prominent, which the long distance truck drivers, they can be present, but that can be helping them. So some of those things may become obsolete. But I would think I wouldn't consider by any revolution in past or in future will completely make things obsolete. It will kind of allow us to do things differently.
Professor, I've seen some estimates that as many as 40 to 50% of today's jobs will be disrupted and that people will have to find other ways to make a gainful living. And anything that can be automated, any jobs that can be automated will be automated. In fact, it's already happening very rapidly. So I your opinion, and again, you are at the University of St. Thomas. We get our high school diplomas. Some of us go on for college, get a four-year degree. Some of us go on for grad school. But is the education system going to have to change as rapidly as some of these new technologies to give us the skills, the new skills that we need for jobs that don't even exist today but will exist 5 years from now? In other words, my question is, many of us are going to have to look for new ways to make a living. And how do we continue to retrain in this environment where change is happening so quickly? It's really hard for anybody to keep up.
I totally agree with that. In fact, let me put it this way. I work for graduate programs in software department in the University of St. Thomas. We have the most challenging curriculums and challenging program to manage. So as my role as the associate dean of this program, I have to consult with industry folks like all the strategic advisory board, which has 15, 18 people. We try to find out what is it that we need. And then we retrain our faculty, we retrain ourselves and make our courses. Sometimes we offer courses for which there are no textbooks. So we have been doing this for last many years, and that is how any educational system has to kind of stay ahead or almost keep up with the technology as it changes. So yes, to answer your question, in order for any educational system to be effective, that has to listen to its audience. That means ultimately our software engineering graduates work for industry. We do listen to industry. We do try to learn and provide those kind of education ahead of everybody else. And that has been one of the reasons for our success, and I think that is the way to do it.
Professor Misra, last question. We're trying to hit a moving target in terms of jobs that are going away. And in the past, when technology disrupts jobs, new jobs take their place.
Yes.
But it's disconcerting. If your job is going away, what comes next? What new skills do I need? How can I be retraining? What advice would you have for listeners that maybe look at all this, the fourth industrial revolution, and shake their heads and wonder, how is this going to affect me? I'm worried about my gig if I'm going to have a job in 2 years or 5 years. What advice would you have for people listening in their cars or at home? How can we all stay gainfully employed and in this new gig economy where nobody works at the same place for 40 years like maybe our parents did?
If I was in that situation, I would keep myself, if I look at my job, what am I doing and how it is changing, and maybe look for opportunities where I can learn new things. In fact, there are several opportunities today because of technology. Again, we can have online classes, you can go to evening classes, you can go to programs like ours where people get to learn. So yes, one has to keep oneself continuously learn things. In fact, that's what I always say. One has to be a lifelong learner.
Yeah, well said.
Professor okay. Babani Misra from the University of St. Thomas on the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Sir, thank you for the enlightening conversation.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very interesting.
Fourth Industrial Revolution and still no flying cars.
Still no flying cars. I wonder if there will be meteorologists in 5 or 10
years.
Yes, because
that's computers, an art.
Well, there's interpretation involved. But some days I wonder if the computers get smart enough. Imagine Siri or Alexa on steroids, and now she's your meteorologist, mm-hmm. and she knows where you're going to be later today, and she knows everything about you, and she can personalize the weather for you. Sometimes I wonder, you know, will there be a need for people on television, hopefully on radio, providing perspective and context, things that computers can't do today, but looking ahead as the computers get smarter, maybe smarter than we are, at some point, are we even going to say, was that a human delivering that or was that a computer delivering that?
You better start looking for a new gig, brother.
Well, nobody has a safe gig. You That's show me anybody with a safe gig.
That's the truth.
But as long as I have the weather gig, I will come back in just a couple of minutes and update you on what's going to be a wild 8 days. Next on CCO. Paul and Jordana, one of our listeners says, Paul, who would be there to be wrong and lie about the weather? Wow. Honey, is that you? I told you to never text me at work.
So it's going to be brutal. I know you and Laura talked about this in the news, but, you know, we have a weather event that's coming, and it can be a dangerous one. We're talking about severe cold temps. You know, we have the Winter Carnival starting on tomorrow, and we have the Polar Plunge happening on Saturday. Are these events that are going to have to be canceled?
That is above my pay grade. I don't know. I think tomorrow is going to be marginal. I'm more concerned about tomorrow than I am Saturday. Because the winds tomorrow are going to be much, much stronger.
And when you say that, when you say you're concerned, so like no exposed skin, should kids not be waiting at the bus stop tomorrow?
Well, no. I mean, again, if you're standing out there for half an hour and there's exposed skin, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
If you're out there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you're dressed properly, you're stomping around, moving around, we've been through this before. So we're not talking record cold. Back in your day when you walked uphill to school both ways.
Yeah. What's wrong with kids these days? They're a bunch of snowflakes. They're not standing out walking uphill to school for 3 hours to get there.
I'm sorry. I just hear people saying that on the text line.
People, really?
That's how they sound on the text line in my head.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they're mean.
Hey, few extra layers, no exposed skin.
Kids, listen, hats. You have to wear a winter coat.
Wear a hat.
Wear the glove your parents bought you. I know you're in the car on the way home from school now. Wear that stuff. They paid good money for a reason.
The face masks and all of that good stuff. So tomorrow it's the wind. And again, these blizzard warnings, not for falling snow. And that's it. People always scratch their heads. How can you have a blizzard warning when there's blue sky overhead?
Oh, it's just for blowing.
It's the stuff that's on the ground that's blowing around. If the winds are 30, 40, 45, that stuff is going to blow and drift. And
so
that's
are blizzards measured in visibility?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I learned something today from you. That's why we need a human and not an Alexa. She might not know the
answer. No, a computer could probably be programmed to answer this question.
Dude,
I'm trying
to help you.
I know you're trying to help. I know you're trying to help. And I hope you're right. But the rate at which computers are getting smarter, faster, better, I do worry that a lot of people who think they're in creative industries and whose jobs can't be outsourced to computers, I think there's going to be a rude awakening. And it's not going to happen next year.
No.
But looking the next 10, 15, 20 years, and new jobs will take their place.
We'll be dead, so it'll be a fine.
Well, I will be.
I hope not.
You're still going to be going strong. I want to be the guy in charge of maintaining the computers. Right. I'm the computer maintenance dude.
The AI won't turn on you and eat you. They'll leave you alive.
They'll still turn on me. So tomorrow it's the wind. Wind chills in the metro for the parade tomorrow evening in St. Paul, 25 below. I think that's right on the cusp. And I have no idea if the parade will go on. That's up to officials in St. Paul. I am not in charge of that.
Too bad.
But it's going to be one of the colder parades. And so many Januaries, you know, St. Paul Winter Carnival, we worry about warm weather. We worry about thawing ice sculptures. Temperatures are too warm. Not this year. This year we're going to have an old-fashioned St. Paul Winter Carnival in terms of cold. So we've got the wind tomorrow. Friday, Saturday look pretty decent, pretty quiet. The winds ease up. It's going to be cold, but the wind chill's not as savage. And then Sunday night, Monday morning, we've got that window of potentially significant snow. And this would be, you just got back from Colorado where they have perfect snow.
Yeah, and a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. The powder. Mm-hmm. And this, beautiful. I have a hunch, whatever falls Sunday night, Monday, it's going to be like Colorado powder.
Oh, Afton will love that. All the snow mountains around here.
Perfect skiing conditions. But that, too, is prone to blowing and drifting. And I think Monday, next Monday, could be a mess, especially in the morning getting into work. And then the real cold, the coldest weather, comes in next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think we're going to have maybe 72 hours below zero, even in the metro, where we have highs of 2 to 6 below and lows anywhere from 10 to 20 below. Not record territory, but definitely get your attention territory. And the good news, all the models, NOAA's models, the European, warm us up as we head into February. We'll be back in the 20s, above zero, maybe a few 30s by the second week of February. So no signs that the polar air is going to linger week after week after week.
It never does.
Oh, it once every 4 or 5 years, it can.
Really?
Where it just lingers. I don't see that. Next week is going to be unpleasant, and then we're past it.
Stay in the house.
We're going to get through this.
It's also 4:31. When we get back, we're going way beyond the headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, what you got?
You know what the new trend in wedding dresses is?
I do not.
Naked wedding dresses.
Excuse me?
But the brides are going to have to be really brave, and I would assume really in shape. It's true. All right. Most people will opt for the traditional white gown. But for brides looking for something that really make them stand out from a crowd, a naked wedding dress will be the way forward. Last year, a Spanish brand debuted a very revealing wedding jumpsuit. Wasn't such a dress, but a wedding jumpsuit.
It? See-through?
Yes. Which left very little to the imagination. The bride's modesty is covered only by lace design and well-placed crystals.
What?
This was a jumpsuit, but now they have dresses. Some of the dresses aren't quite...
It's a wedding, not a stag party.
Really?
What am I missing here?
Some of the dresses aren't quite so revealing. Sheer and lace fabrics and flesh-toned linings rather than it being her actual skin. But clearly, it will be a striking look if a bride chooses one. Here's a picture, Paul. Would you like to look at this picture?
Okay.
It's quite see-through. Here's another picture, Paul. And no, I'm not really. I mean, I'm showing him pictures, but the girls are covered enough for me to be showing it in the studio. The style of dress is popular on the red carpet. You know, you see these women at the Oscars and the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're half naked.
Yeah, they are.
It's only tape holding on.
Yep.
God knows what.
Duct tape.
But is it suitable for a wedding? I guess you can decide. If the bride is happy, I guess so. But everyone else is getting an eyeful.
Dang millennials. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Hey, New Orleans Saints fans are not going quietly into the good night. A Louisiana eye doctor has offered to gladly provide no-cost eye exams to all NFL officials.
Really?
Prior to next season to prevent the atrocity that occurred the other night.
That's funny.
We would hate for anybody else to feel our pain.
That's good. A digital
sign above the Lake Pontchartrain Causeway Bridge flashed, "We were robbed." One of the city newspapers, the Times-Picayune, had a headline, Reffing Unbelievable. Reffing Unbelievable.
That's good. That's clever.
That's pretty good.
It's clever.
More than 500,000 Saints fans added their signatures, Jor, to an online petition demanding a rematch this upcoming Sunday, declaring it's the only fair solution to this travesty of epic proportions. Mm-hmm. Harry Connick Jr., I imagine you have a little crush on Harry Connick Jr.
He's a
native of New Orleans.
He is.
He wrote a letter to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. He basically called the disputed play one of the most disgraceful no calls I've ever seen, said that he is boycotting the Super Bowl.
Oh, boy.
To which the NFL replied, yawn. New Orleans-based attorney Frank D'Amico filed a lawsuit yesterday asking NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to force a replay of the NFC Championship game. Don't think that's going to happen.
No, probably not. Sorry.
So
it's the NFL. They do whatever the heck they want. They don't care about you.
We feel their pain.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard about gender reveal parties?
Yes. It's over the top now, right?
So this is after you wear the see-through wedding dress. Now you're pregnant. And maybe that night, who knows if it's really see-through. You never know. Gender reveal parties are the new thing to learn the gender of your unborn baby. This is what young couples are having. I've been to a few of these. They're cute. It's a new thing because now a lot of people find out the gender. Well, for $140, you and your family can revel in the perceived gender identity of the unborn fetus in an announcement dictated by food-colored cheese layered in a meat casserole. That's right.
What?
A restaurant in New Jersey, Villa Italian Kitchen, is offering a gender reveal lasagna. Don't worry. It also comes with a salad of your choice,
what?
Caesar or a Greek. But we've seen people starting wildfires, fighting in parking lots, having broken bones to unveil their child's sex. Now you can slice into a lasagna and the color of the there's food coloring on inside that oozes out. And I guess I don't know if there's marinara in there or any kind of sauce. I don't know how it stays either blue or pink, but they have somehow figured it out that the color will ooze out from the lasagna, and it's the latest way to do a gender reveal. A gender reveal lasagna.
I think people are overthinking this.
That's
just
a little bit.
No, senor!
Yeah.
No, senor!
My
no,
reaction
senor!
To a gender
no,
reveal.
No,
send me a postcard. Can you top this travel horror story? Mm-hmm. United Airlines.
Did you
hear about this? 250 passengers stuck on an airplane,
horrible.
A 777 in a small Canadian airfield for 12 hours last
horrible.
Weekend, to the point where the pilot actually gave the people, these passengers, the email of the CEO of United,
wow.
Oscar Munoz. Again, this was a flight from Newark to Hong Kong. There was a medical emergency. They diverted to an airfield in Newfoundland, and then it couldn't take off because it was too cold. One of the plane's doors froze due to sub-zero cold. It wouldn't shut.
Yeah, so what happened to the people that were on there for 12 hours?
They couldn't get off the plane because United couldn't legally let them off in a foreign country without clearing customs, and there was no customs.
Oh,
so they were stuck on the plane.
Horrible.
Snowstorms were battering the Midwest and the Northeast, complicating airline operations. It's hard for these airlines to just snap their finger and come up with another 777, right?
Well, there needs to be a better solution then. There needs to be a solution. These people can't freeze out there.
At one point, the
captain. Mr. Munoz, you better find a solution.
I've never heard of this. At one point, the captain announced Mr.
Munoz's
email address over the loudspeeker.
Sometimes
Munoz.
You're too white, Paul.
I'm way too white. Send him an email right now. Tell him how mad you are. Some describe the flight as the worst travel nightmare they've ever experienced, according to the Wall Street Journal.
See, then I think maybe if there were infants on the flight or elderly people or somebody who needed medication, that is a tragedy, really.
When it goes wrong, it can go really wrong.
Or you can just not like the pants that you want, that you were hoping to buy, and you can just stab the person who gave them to you.
What?
A man has been arrested in a stabbing incident in Boulder, Colorado. The police say it was started by pants. Okay, this is true. A Womack, Colorado man stabbed another man in the back after agreeing to exchange pants with him than not liking the pants he received. He went to an Eddie Bauer store where he attempted to steal a pair of pants. The victim was transported to a local hospital with life-threatening injuries. Womack is being held at the Boulder Jail, first-degree assault, robbery, and theft.
I don't get the whole pants swapping thing.
Yeah, I
guess. Where does that come from?
He's going to exchange pants with somebody. I guess maybe they were in the fitting room, and he wanted the guy's pants that was next to him. And he said, hey, let's change these pants. He put them on. The other guy liked his. He didn't like his. Stabbed the guy, tried to steal the pants. And
was he on that United flight?
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
Still twerked off over that. Hong Kong is presenting a bill to make mocking China's national anthem a crime.
Yeah, you just can't do anything in China, huh?
Arise, ye who refuse to be slaves.
Oh, boy.
In one of the greatest ironies of history, this call to resist enslavement presents the greatest threat to freedoms in Hong Kong today. This clarion call is the first line of the national anthem of the People's Republic of China, a song that is supposed to inspire national pride, Jor, which in recent years has been booed and mocked at soccer matches in Hong Kong.
I can see why.
A proposed law would impose jail terms of up to 3 years for disrespecting the March of the Volunteers. The move is widely seen as another attack on free speech in Hong Kong, where the Chinese national anthem, again, has been booed at sports events as a form of political protest.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese aren't real big on free speech.
God bless America.
Nope.
Do you like those sweetheart candies? You know, the ones that say, be mine. Way to go. Oh, boy.
No, in fact, I don't. Not really. No.
That's un-American.
Well,
who doesn't love those? Come on. Well, this year, you won't have to worry about being annoyed by them. Because get this. Sweethearts will be missing from the shelves this year after the company that makes the candy, the New England Confectionery Company, went out of business.
Ooh.
Isn't that terrible? These are like a mainstay.
How did that happen?
I wondered the same thing.
People aren't eating them.
Especially after I found out that they pull in $1.8 billion in sales. It's the most popular confection for Valentine's Day, pulling in $1.8 billion with a B dollars in sales. Really? Be mine, cutie pie. Who knew they were so lucrative? Well, this year, sales for the Conversation Hearts are expected to drop more than 80%. Yeah, because there aren't any left. They say Necco, in July of 2018, remember Necco wafers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In July of 2018, after operating for more than 100 years, Necco folded, along with Sweethearts, the company that produced Mary Jane's, Necco wafers, and Clark bars. So panic buyers tried to scoop up the remaining of those candies. And sales jumped a little bit. That happened last summer, of course. And now we're finding out that Sweethearts will not be producing any this year. But there is a saving grace. With a few months left until this Valentine's Day, so a few months ago, the Spangler Candy Company did buy the Sweetheart Company, but they didn't have enough time to produce all of the hearts for Valentine's Day this year. So the good news is, while there will be no Be Mine, Wildlife, Chill Out, Melt My Heart hearts this year, they'll be back next year.
So they didn't go out of business.
Well, no, they got bought. Necco was later bought by an investment company and then sold to the Spangler Candy Company. And Spangler didn't have time to produce for this year, so they won't be around, but they're going to bring them back for next
year.
That's
the good news. The bad news, they're going to be made out of kale.
Okay.
Right?
Maybe you'll like them better then.
All right, it's 4:47 Wixen Jewelers time. Wixen is Minnesota's destination for rare and exceptional diamonds and gemstones just off 35W in Bloomington. Paul and Jordana, it's already Wednesday, and it's 4:54, which means it's maxi time.
Hey, hey.
And a good night for the Wolves last night.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Great game.
Yeah, that's
really
great.
Good night. They played really well.
And I know Arizona... I know Phoenix is not great, but they still the Wolves looked really good last night.
Well, and that's what you judge it by. Control what you can control. And they beat them on a buzzer beater on Sunday, then came back and played much better than I thought they'd play last night because Jeff Teague was out again. And it looks like he's got a nagging injury. Mm. And so you had your first 2 point guards, in essence, down, although Derrick Rose can play there. And then Jared Bayless came in, made 4 3-pointers. We've heard his name. He came over in the Jimmy Butler deal, but it's really the first time he's had a chance to contribute in any significant way. Now they go to L.A. to play the Lakers tomorrow, and LeBron James is not going to play, so they can keep making hay on this road trip, as we say.
Timing is everything.
Yeah, timing's everything for this team.
Tell us a little bit about the Wild in Colorado to face the Avalanche last game before the All-Star break, right?
Yeah, and they get the bye week breaks. They're off for a while here, and Colorado's just 1 point behind them in the standings. They've played well of late. Colorado's had some streaks this year. They've been very good. I got to tell you, the NHL has what they want. They got a logjam of teams that are all, you know, 1 week you're in third place, the next week you're out of the playoffs. It's just amazing. But to watch it up close with these coaches, with these players, it is grueling, man. It is a grinder. Because you know, even though they're big, strong, tough, all that stuff, one day you feel like you got a really good team, and the next day you go, man, we suck. And that's the way, I mean, you'd think that, you know, you get to adulthood, but this will test you, man. It is what it is, and you can't fight human nature. And to watch these guys go through this on a daily, weekly basis, trying to figure out, are we good or not, isn't that much different than the kid playing Little League, you know?
Hey, earlier we talked about how a lot of Saints fans want a rematch on Sunday. Is that going to happen?
I don't think so. I think the Vikings never got a rematch on it.
Yeah.
You know, there never has been, Jordan, and that I can think of in the history of the game, where they've said, you know what, we blew that. We don't know what else to do. They'll admit they blew a call, but they won't award you a rematch, as I recall.
But there is in baseball, right?
Are you talking about the Pine Tar game?
Yeah.
George Brett came out. Yeah, because they came back, and it's the famous George Brett Pine Tar incident. If you want to Google it anytime, look it up. And he goes crazy because Billy Martin waited till his last at bat, and then he said the Pine Tar is too far down the bat, which was a rule. And they had a ruling, and they renewed it, and they went back and played it, and it's become, you know, one of the most famous moments, would you say, Dan, in Major League Baseball history. If you think of all the video, that would be right up there.
Well, yeah, and like you said, Billy waited until George Brett hit an important home run.
Yeah,
in the game,
that's what it was. Yeah. He wouldn't have done anything. He waited until,
the umpire turns around and calls Brett out. Brett loses his mind. It's a great video.
And Billy's got the last laugh.
And MLB overturned that call and replayed the end of the game.
So there is a precedent.
There is a precedent.
Baseball.
But not in baseball.
Yeah. We won't see it in football, I can tell you that.
What else is on your sports Doppler?
We got 20 seconds, Max.
Yeah.
Okay, tonight I will visit with Mr. Basketball people. Mitch Garver will join us from the Minnesota Twins. Jack Paling, part of the Paling Brothers at St. Cloud State. Mike McMillan of Hockey Fame. All that and much more coming up tonight on Sports Tonight.
Wow, you only got 2 hours.
I'll try to get it all in.
Talk fast, buddy.
You're the best. Thanks, Mikey.
Mike.
Thanks, guys.
When we get back, we're going to talk about family medical leave in Minnesota.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.